Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Fast Pod. I'm your host Graham Cleland. Have you ever wondered what it takes to make a racing team fast? Now, those of you who have got an interest in motorsport might think the answer is budget. You know, that is money and lots of it. And that might be true. It could be an element of it. But actually, lots of people spend vast amounts of cash going racing and don't always have success. And you see, in other sports, you can throw budget at it and it doesn't always translate into results. You definitely need some or you're not going to go racing, but it's not the be-all and end-all. So on top of the budget, what else do you need? You need the know-how, and that could be top engineers behind the scenes to make sure the cars are set up correctly to go quick. And obviously drivers. If you don't have talented drivers to get your results out on the circuit, you're going nowhere. But what about the person that it takes to bring all of those different things together? What is the secret of being a successful team manager? And actually, how do you become a racing team manager in the first place? What does the job involve? How do you manage the whole process? How does it all come together? Well, fortunately, on the Fast Pod, in this episode, we've got somebody who's been there, seen it, done it, and is still wearing the t-shirt, in fact, at a very high level. So Ollie Collins is the team manager for Motorbase Performance in the British Touring Car Championship. He's also worked with other championship winning teams across that period. I was fortunate to work with Ollie for a few seasons in the BTCC. And his approach is interesting because, as you'll hear in the interview, he is not the most outspoken person in the world. He's modest, self-effacing, but there's a quiet steel and determination there. And a real methodical brain behind it all that has no doubt helped Motorbase become one of the most successful teams in the championship, as they're showing this season. Could be on the way to multiple title wins, but also how he's helped that team progress over the years and in the titles he won with other outfits like Dynamics and West Surrey beforehand. So without further ado, let me introduce Ollie to explain the recipe for success as a race team manager. Hi Ollie, welcome to the Fast Pod. How are you and where in the world are you just now?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm at Motorbase headquarters today.
In sunny Kent?
In sunny Kent, yes. Blue skies everywhere.
Yeah, not in Scotland right now. It's pouring rain. You'll not be surprised to hear after your recent visit to Knockhill. Listen, you guys are having a fantastic season. We'll touch on that very, very quickly. You're riding high. It's looking, you know, pretty positive in the championship. So on, you must be a pretty happy team boss at this current point in time with two races left.
Yeah, it's been what an amazing season it's been. And we're just trying to kind of take in the moment all the time and enjoy it as best we can. But you've always got an eye on the next race and making sure that we try and get it over the line when it happens. And British touring cars, things can flip and turn around quite easily. So, yeah, two to go. We've got a nice, comfortable lead with Ash at the minute, but it's never comfortable. You've got to give it everything, and everyone's chomping on our heels. But it's been, wow, what a season. I mean, we kind of went into last year. Obviously, it was the start of working with Napa, and having two exceptional drivers with Dan and Ash, you kind of go, wow, this is fantastic. And we did some pretty good pre-season stuff and turned up at the first race, and we were like, it's not bad, but we're not where we thought we would be. First half of the season didn't quite go as we'd hoped. And then we had quite a big summer refresh. Second half was really good. And then we strengthened the team even more, grew to four, added Sam and Dan Rowbottom to the mix. So we've now got four fantastic drivers, and we've got Sam in Jack Sears, and we've got teams, manufacturers, and obviously drivers to aim for. And it's just been an amazing season so far. So two to go. Hopefully it continues in the same trajectory.
Absolutely. We'll be watching with interest. But I'm going to take you a bit back, okay? We're going to roll back the years because you've been involved in BTCC and motorsport generally for a long time. I don't know if listeners will all know this, but I love the tagline you've got on your Twitter account. It says, you're a motorsport fan who's just a big kid with a cool job. I thought that's a great way to sum it up. You know, race team manager is a unique and interesting job, and you've been doing it for a long time very successfully. You've worked for some of the biggest, you know, names in motorsport. You've been at West Surrey, Team Dynamics, Motorbase for a long time, and you've enjoyed success with all of them. So I guess sort of taking it right back to the start, how the hell did you become a race team manager in the first place?
Yeah, my mum asked that as well at the same time. So I always knew at school and at college growing up, I just wanted to work in mat racing. I didn't know how, I didn't know if it was achievable. My uncle, fortunately for me, my uncle on my mum's side, actually my mum's twin, was a British touring car driver back in the mid to late 80s. And I was a bit too young to really appreciate all of that and understand what was going on. And yeah, so I always had that natural progression into it, but my dad was a big motorsport fan. So I ended up, went to college, didn't know what I wanted to do, did business studies. There wasn't motorsport colleges. Courses back then, and ended up joining a team called Dave Price Racing. We're doing Le Mans, did a couple of years with them, and I was just the youngster. I went in and I worked really hard, and I thought I did tires, made tea, cleaned up, and did a bit of everything, and then eventually ended up in British touring cars. And I started off at West Surrey, and it was the year that Mansell had come back into the series, so that was quite an exciting debut into
touring car.
And especially, you come from GTs, totally different world. You come into this touring car race, mate, and then we were doing only two races in a day then. And we did the first ever race that I'd ever been part of at Thruxton. And the cars were so smashed up. And I was like, oh, race one, done. What do we do now? Like, do we put them in the truck? And I was kind of like, no. Like, what are you going to fix these here? So, yeah, watch us. And sure enough, a very eye-opening experience to my first race weekend in touring cars. And, yeah, it's a very, very different world. So, yeah, I suppose I was at West Surrey for 7 years, and I kind of went in as the lad and then just progressed through the company and tried to soak up and learn as much as I possibly could with a weird approach where I didn't really want to be a mechanic, despite the fact I've grown up in my dad's got a restoration business. So I'd learned kind of mechanicking from a very young age, working with him as a Saturday boy and school holidays. So I knew a little bit about it. I wasn't clever enough and hadn't got the qualifications to go into engineering. I didn't really want to drive trucks and be a truckie. And I ended up going more down the truckie route and then ended up I used to drive the little truck, got involved in the logistics and the operation of events. And a few people said, when are you going to become team manager? And I was like, all I do is the logistics. Quite a few people mentioned it. And then eventually Steve Neal offered me a job one winter to go and join Team Dynamics as team manager. And he was like, ooh, this has just got real. You obviously go through that massive element of doubt of, can you do it?
Imposter syndrome.
Yeah, it was. I suppose in a way, I still have it now, where you kind of look at what you do and you kind of go, well, all I do is organise people. I'm not the brains behind it. I'm not the money behind it. I just work with people, and I'm really lucky that we've got some really, really clever and competent people in every position throughout the company. And we're seeing the benefits of all of that now, but all along the years I've been lucky enough in team management to have really, really good, strong people behind me. And just go, I like you say, imposter syndrome, kind of feel like, well, all I do is make sure they're fed, watered, clothed, and in the right place at the right time with the right amount of support. And they do all the hard work. So
but having been involved in motorsport teams for a long time myself, that there is an art to creating a happy camp and making sure that all those, you know, talented parts are pulling in the same direction, because if they're not, it doesn't work. And so just to dig into that a little bit, to explain to people, you know, people see race team managers with a headset on, cheering at the you know, guardrail at the side of the track, et cetera, when things are going well, or looking gloomy on the cameras afterwards when it's not gone well. But what does it involve away from the track? You know, so just try and sort of give people a feel for, you know, apart from dealing with pesky media and PR flunkies like myself, what does the job entail when you're not racing?
So when you're not racing, I'll go back, because my role's slightly different now. I'll go back to when I was at Motorbase a few years ago. The role there is you're constantly dealing with everyone, every element of the race team. And I think a lot of people maybe misunderstand just how many roles there are in motorsport. So the obvious ones are you've got back at the workshop, you've got the mechanics, you've got the truckies, and you've got a couple of other people, whether it be engineering support or engineers. And that's kind of what everybody considers to be the core team. They're the ones that work on the car, they get them fixed, they get them prepped, they get them ready, we go testing. So as a team manager, you have to get involved and make sure all those guys have got all the equipment they need, the parts they need, when they need it. You have to be quite structured in your organising and planning. So your hardest work is actually when the season's finished and up to the first race meeting. That's always been the more difficult time, because every deadline chat is fluid. Everything can change, and you're trying to juggle a test programme, and then you're cancelling tests late on, maybe because of weather, maybe because of lack of parts. And that's the difficult element, where everything's moving. Once you get to the race season, the season kind of sorts itself out. Both, specifically with timing, you have to be somewhere at lunchtime on a Thursday afternoon to park the trucks up, and then everything kind of evolves from there. And it's very easy to communicate that to the group of people that you're with. When you're back at base, you're communicating it with people that are dotted all around the country. But that's the core people. But then you touched on it, you've got the media guys that they need to be involved in a certain area. And mechanics don't understand media people don't understand mechanics, because you both have two very different kind of ideas on what you actually want. And my job has always been the person, the diplomatic one in the middle, that goes, well, I understand PR and marketing and what the media guys have got to do to promote, which means that the mechanics have got to get the car ready for a specific day, and they lose their car because it goes to a show or a launch or a business event or something like that. And then you've got the guys that are doing the stickers, and then you've got the guys that are doing the electrics, and you have everybody to deal with. And then normally on top of that, you've got boss, and the boss is at the top going, well, why can't we do this? Why can't we do that? And you're kind of the intermediate. I suppose you're just the center of things where people come to. And you then redirect to the right person. So yeah, it's an interesting role.
You made that sound a lot more simple than it actually is in reality, because I've seen all those debates happening in real life, and you know, it can become strained. So you said something there that is probably the key is diplomacy. You know, is being the diplomat that binds it all together. And so we're talking a bit away from the track there, what that looks like. But, you know, so come race day and race weekend, it's a pretty intense atmosphere, particularly in BTCC, which, you know, three races on a race day, you know, you're dealing with damage and incidents, be called in a stewardship. It's a fast turnaround, and it's short, sharp stuff as well. So what does race day look and feel like for a team manager?
So, again, it becomes more structured than you get during the week, because it is, like I said before, you get solid timings. From, in particular, let's say when the weekend starts on a Saturday, the guys turn up on a Thursday, they set the garage up, they make sure everything's right, all the equipment's there. Saturday morning comes. So we tend to get to the circuit for around 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. First job is to go to the toker patch, which is the flat patch that we all use, which judges our ride height and our base weight. So that's all organised. And again, so it's about the people you've got around you. My style of management is let people do what they're good at. Don't micromanage. Don't constantly remind people of something they already know. And it's almost touring cars has been pretty similar timing wise for quite a long time. The guys that are in the team, they know exactly where they've got to be and where they've got to go. But you grow from maybe 8 people in the workshop to suddenly you've got 40 people. And you have a designated we have designated three mechanics per car, a support engineer, tire man. Then you've got a couple of extra people that are looking after bits and bobs and some specific roles like the fuel guy and the damper guy and things like that. And you're just bringing those people together, making sure they know their timings and what they've got to do. Saturday morning, you've got free practice one, and free practice one can be quite dull to people that are watching because they think, oh, we're going to go out on track. And then we go out on track and we do a load of homework, which is basically housework. Scrubbing tyres, embedding brakes in and making sure everything's ready. And then you go later on, you do a bit of a run. Hopefully, Saturday's the day that you hope you don't have issues, but you do sometimes. And that creates a different approach, really. You've got two versions. You've got like the panic reaction and you've got the organised schedule. You always hope that your day is going to be as scheduled as what you were given on the week before by Toka. But it can change and then you just have to react accordingly. But yeah, for me, it's letting those people around me do their jobs because they're better at their jobs than I am. Sometimes you have to ask and quiz and find out why they're making that change to the car, what they're doing that for, or why the mechanic's doing this or not doing that, making sure the tire guys are being communicated with. And it's just, for me, I just bring people together and a talented bunch that work very well. And then, yeah, every other element from marketing, the guests. You mentioned about the series. We have a very busy Sunday with three races in a day, and quite a lot can happen in those races, whether it be accident damage or judicial things that you have to deal with. But all the while, you're surrounded by thousands of public, especially, and I love the reverse garages that we've done at a few races, where actually we're only there really because the fans want to see us. And the sponsors are the same. And you have a very open approach where fans and sponsors and guests and teams all mingle all together. And you get to be right up front and close to the drivers that they admire and the cars, and you can see exactly what's being repaired and how we're doing. It's quite open. But that in itself creates another element, certainly for the mechanics to deal with when they're in a real rush to get a load of work done, basically an hour's work done in 20 minutes. And then they're surrounded by the guests of the weekend or fans or other people, and you're doing it in a confined space. And yeah, there's just different challenges that you get used to.
And the two don't always mix particularly well. But as you say, it's about trying to, you know, give everybody their space to do their own thing and make sure people enjoy it at the same time. Just touching on something there, you talked about a lot of the different roles involved throughout the team, etc. We've not talked a lot about drivers yet. So they can bring their own challenges depending on you know, personalities and what they look for. And, you know, what qualities do you look for in drivers to, you know, create a good team environment, you know, and to make sure that everybody goes fast?
Honesty and openness. That is the biggest thing you could ask from a driver. I've probably got, and I'm not disrespecting anyone I've worked with in the past, but have four drivers that I've got now so open and honest about their opinion of what they think should and shouldn't be done, whether or not we're talking about driving standards or the approach to the weekend or actually working together as a team, and maybe sometimes team orders comes in. It's just about, I'm always very open, very transparent, and kind of wear your heart on your sleeve. Actually say it as it is, because if you're not, if you're hiding something, you're keeping something back, it doesn't work. All drivers have to respect each other, certainly within a team. And I've worked with drivers in the past that's the last thing that they would do is actually respect each other. They didn't think either one was as fast as them. So therefore, when they lost to the other one, it was the end of the world. And then all that did was drag everybody around them down. So I think respecting the fact that everybody in your team is potentially as fast as you are, and learning from each other. We've got four talents in drivers and engineers that they all learn from each other. And that's the most important thing for me, is actually that camaraderie and the acceptance to say, well, okay, so he was quicker through sector three. Why? And then they talk to each other, they talk to the engineers, and they understand a bit more. So, yeah, drivers can be the hardest thing or person to deal with on a race weekend, but they also can be the easiest thing to work with. I suppose they're the ones that they're at the front of it. They're the representative of everybody behind them. they are representing the team and all the individuals. There's a lot of pressure on a driver, and people underestimate it. They look at a driver and go, "God, I wish I could be the driver." You just turn up and drive. But they turn up, they drive, they work really hard. They do a lot behind the scenes that you don't appreciate. And to a certain extent, drivers, at a certain level, drivers are ultimately just another component. They're a component that you have to work with to prevent it from failing and make it work at its optimum. But they're all super talented. It's actually not the bit behind the wheel where the hard work goes in. It's the bit building up to that and the relationship with their engineer and their team. And then when they make a mistake, everyone knows about it. And especially in the current world of social media, so many people are so quick to chastise somebody. It's like, you don't know what happened. And when it did happen, there's always somebody on one team and somebody on another. And everybody shares their opinions, rightly or wrongly. And they are representing. So there's great when they win, but when they make a mistake and somebody else is maybe a victim of it, God, do they get an ear bashing. And then don't forget, they've got another car crew to come back to as well, who have put as much effort and time and blood and sweat and tears into it as they have. So, no, I've got a lot of respect for drivers and everybody in the team. For me, and long may it continue, drivers for me are another member of the team. They're just the one, they work just as hard as the other guys. We might not see them during the week at the workshop, not all the time. They quite often come in and make tea and help out and bring a bit of camaraderie to it. But yeah, they're the ones that probably get the most pressure, should we say.
Okay, speaking of pressure, you've got good pressure just now because, you know, things are going extremely well at Motorbase and hopefully that continues for the rest of the season. But just want to talk a little bit about your own sort of personal career highs and lows. So, you know, you've worked for some big teams and, you know, you've had a lot of success over that period. But what sticks out in your mind as sort of, you know, the highlights, but also I'm sure there's been a few lowlights along the way that stick out as well.
Yeah. Some of the lowlights I'm probably not right to share. Individual highlights. When I left West Surrey and went to Dynamics, we won the title back to back. That was pretty mega, and that was the first drivers' championship I'd been involved in and winning. So that was pretty good. This year is standing out as a massive high. I was talking to a few people at Croft where we'd just done a double 1-2-3. I mean, that just doesn't happen.
Rare, especially in touring cars.
Yeah, and we're living it. And because you're living it in the moment, you have to stop and take a step back and go, remember this, because we'll be talking about this for 10 years, but possibly more. Hopefully we get it again and it becomes a bit commonplace. But the reality is that was such a special day. Highlights. I mean, there are loads of different ones. I'm quite a positive person, and I think I do appreciate that I had, like you said about my Twitter handle, I do have a very cool job. I'm very fortunate. I suppose the highlight was my first ever race weekend. I went to Le Mans in the sunshine, never been to a race meeting before, and there I am working with two McLaren F1 GTRs sponsored by Harrods and West and Hawaiian Tropic. And the most amazing experience, and I probably didn't really appreciate that until years after, just how I probably peaked in my first ever race meeting.
Yeah, to be fair, that is quite a high bar. You know, most people in motorsport will recognize that event and that era and think, bloody hell, like, so for that to be your first race weekend is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was my initial standard, so everything from there, was a bit different. But my first 2 years we travelled a lot as well. I got to go to some pretty cool places, like we did a race at Sebring, followed by Laguna Seca. That was pretty amazing. Went over to Suzuka a couple of times and some loads of places in Europe. That was pretty cool. And again, because it was my first experience of motorsport, really didn't appreciate how good that was, because it just, for me, at the time, was the norm. Yeah, and then I've just had an amazing time at Motorbase for, 14 years I've been here now?
Yeah.
And we've had some highs and lows in this, but ultimately you look back on it, loved every minute of it, still do.
Well, I remember being there for Motor Base's first ever overall win in touring car. So yeah. It just shows you how far the team has come. You know, at that point, the team was really just, you know, starting to sort of be seen as a force, you know, and now is one of the big dogs of touring cars.
So again, that was the norm. That was my first Motor Base weekend, and it was like, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I remember it before that, and it wasn't normal.
Yeah, I didn't witness those years. I was having my own troubles elsewhere.
Standing down the pit lane, looking enviously at Dynamics, scooping up everything, you know, with you in charge. So I remember them. You just talked a little bit about your journey in there and to motorsport. And what would you give as a tip to someone that was thinking, actually, you know what, I'd love to work in a race team at some level. You know, what would you give as advice to people who want to get in? How would they go about that?
Keep trying. Don't let anything. There'll be plenty of times that you'll say, I'm really sorry, we can't accommodate you. And I actually had to send that email to somebody this morning. And it's a case of, I'm really sorry, I'd love to give you the opportunity. But when you get it, make sure you grab it and work really hard, because getting in the door, getting that opportunity is really, really difficult in this industry. So don't pass the opportunity up and then find out that you could have worked harder, you could have stayed and could have made a different first impression. So in that respect, I think it's just keep going, keep trying. You will find someone that will give you the opportunity. And like I say, when you get the opportunity, make sure you don't let it go. That's the way I approached it. There's a lot more available to youngsters now. When you have your motorsport colleges that you can go to straight from fifth or from year 11, you can go, instead of doing A-levels, you can go and learn about motorsport and different varieties of it. But get as many opportunities as you can to do work experience, whether it be a race weekend. I've got, so coming up to Silverstone, we've got four new people helping us, literally just coming in, never done a race meeting before, and they're helping us. And I just, out of them, hope at least one of them sticks at it and makes a career out of it. And I started with a work experience from college. I was lucky because I knew somebody that knew the team owner. And they said, yeah, okay, we'll give them a couple of weeks and see how it gets on. And it was a couple of months before Le Mans, so fortunate timing. But yeah, find your local race team. Or find a circuit local to you and keep going and, yeah, put your heart and soul in.
And all these years later, you can still be at it.
Yeah, it's still, yeah, I talk to my children now. I've got one who's just gone into A-levels and he wants to get into motorsport. He wants to do engineering and he's a lot cleverer than me, so he might actually have that opportunity. And I say to him, if you have a job like mine, you won't, I know it sounds like a really corny phrase, but you don't work a day in your life because you love it. There are some really bad times, really difficult times, times where you just want to stop and go and do a so-called normal job. But in reality, 95% of people that work in motorsport, I think, start as a fan. Absolutely. Because you don't have the right approach. But yeah, we're all on reflection, people with a normal orthodox job talk to you and they go, why don't you get paid extra for working race weekends? Do you get a championship win bonus as individuals? No. What do you get overtime when you work till 3 o'clock in the morning? No. And you're like, that's not what we're doing. It's something else.
Actually, most people, as you say, get into it as fans and would probably do it for free. Just because they loved it, and it's a bonus to have actually made a living out of it and a career out of it. So, you know, that's probably, you know, the trade-off, isn't it?
And they're the people you need. I mean, look at the marshals that help us. You couldn't do motor racing without marshals. And they offer their time because they're the same as everybody that works in motorsport. They love it. We all love it. I mean, we're all mad, but there's a smile on your face. So, no, it's good.
Okay, I've saved the trickiest question to last.
Oh, no.
Maybe it's not for you, but what I would ask you is, what is the secret to making a race team fast?
The main thing is the individuals working as a group. We're blessed at the moment as a team. We've got some very talented individuals, whether they be the drivers or the engineers or the mechanics. I think we've got, I don't think I'm wrong in saying the best people in the paddock in every single position. I don't think we have weaknesses through individuals. Some of those individuals are maybe stronger than others in their same area. But I think in every single area, I'm pretty confident in saying we have at least one of the strongest people in the paddock in those roles. And that includes the sponsorship side of things as well. We couldn't do any of what we're doing without the support of Napa. And Napa have come on and they've kind of changed the face of British Touring Cars and the way sponsorship and the way that we're aligned with them. And I think that twins with Pete as well, the boss of Motorbase, where he's allowed Napa in. They're a partner rather than a sponsor. It's a little bit about timing, a little bit about luck, and a little bit about planning. And there's a little bit about everything. And it is, we're not just lucky. We all work really hard at it. And there is a plan in place, and it's been executed very well. But yeah, it's a whole load of things. But it's fundamentally, it's about the individual.
Just and getting that balance right, isn't it? It's about getting that balance right, isn't it? So
allowing those individuals to actually show us what they can do as well. Actually allowing people to do a job. You can't have one person that defines everybody out of 40. You have to allow those people to shine through with their own qualities. And I think that's what we do quite well. I think that's probably what helps us more than anything.
Well, that's a great way. That's a great note to end on. It's a great way of summing it up as well. Good luck to you and the rest of the guys at Motorbase for the rest of the season. Wish you all the best. You're in a strong position, and I hope that continues. And there's plenty of silverware left in store when the season ends.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Well, how good was that? I hope all of you listeners enjoyed hearing from Ollie describing the role of a team manager in a racing team as much as I did. As I said, I've been very fortunate to work with Ollie in the past and seen him in action. And what's fascinating is he's not shouty or aggressive. He's quite quiet and understated, but he knows where to draw the line in terms of authority and how to get everyone pulling in the same direction. And I thought he described that interplay between making sure all the different elements of a racing team, from the drivers out front, the pressure that they were under, to how then they interacted with the engineers, the media people like me asking the pesky questions behind the scenes, pleasing sponsors and guests and fans, but also the money men, the sponsors, the budgets, the team owners. He's got to deal with it all, and not just on a race weekend, but also in between races, how all of those things have to slot into place to make sure that the race team as a unit turns up in a position to be successful on track. So I hope you enjoyed hearing about his career, the way he's progressed through motorsport, and I hope it provided a bit of inspiration for anyone out there thinking, you know what, I would like to work for a race team. I'm not sure what capacity I'd like to do that in. And I thought he gave some great tips there on how to go about getting your foot in the door. And I'm sure Ollie would be happy to hear from you if you dropped him a line. Please let us know your feedback and comments. Ollie doesn't give many interviews, so we're really grateful for him coming on the Fast Pod and giving up some of his valuable time. And we wish both him and everyone at Motorbase Performance all the best for the rest of the BTCC season, and I'm sure that they will do themselves proud and hopefully come away with some silverware at the end of it. So best of luck to Motorbase. If you enjoyed the interview, please subscribe to the podcast, give us a like and share online, and check out the Fast Pod merchandise on our website if you want to represent a race meeting near you. Thanks everyone, see you soon. We'll be right back.